A very good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Wednesday, March 28th, 2017. And this is Live Talk Diaspora Forum. My name is Chris Gande.
And I am Tanonoka Wande.
Tonight on Live Talk Diaspora Forum, we are talking about the Zimbabweans in the diaspora who have heeded President Emmerson Mnangagwa's call to go back home after the fall of former President Robert Mugabe.
After the 15th of November last year, there was renewed hope that Zimbabwe was on the path to economic and political revival, with the new president calling all Zimbabweans who had left the country to go back home and assist in rebuilding the nation.
Some people in various parts of the world reportedly heeded the call and went back home, while others, up to now, are still pondering over the issue.
However, some of those who went back home were met with cash shortages, dilapidated roads and infrastructure, escalating prices, and the continuing economic decline that they had hoped had been stymied by the new dispensation.
Is Zimbabwe open for business to diasporans?
To join our discussion, please phone us directly at 001-202-619-2077 and we'll call you right back. Or in our WhatsApp number, 001-202-465-0318.
Live Talk goes out to Zimbabwe on our 909 medium wave frequency and on 13860 kilohertz shortwave Monday through Friday at 8 p.m. Yebo kambezu lukandaba mthwakazi omuhle siyadibana njalo kuhlelo lwethu lwe Live Talk Diaspora Forum lapho sixoxa khona lezi zalane zeZimbabwe ezihlala kwamanye amazwe. Lamhlanje ke sixoxa ngodaba lokubana bakhona na asebelalele isiqonqoselo sikamongameli Emmerson Mnangagwa owathi yena buyelani ekhaya bantwana beZimbabwe lingalingaphi komhlaba sibambane siyakhe isizwe sethu seZimbabwe. Yes, siyazi ukuthi bakhona abanengi abalandelayo, asazi kumbe banengi, kodwa hayi siyazi ukuthi bakhona abahambayo ekhaya ngemva kokusuka embusweni kukamongameli Mugabe. Abanye nje ngabahamba besiyavakatsha nje besiyabona ilizwe ngoba ngesikhathi sombuso kaMugabe babengenelisi besesaba. Njalo inengi ngelithi lona hayi besifuna sibili ukwakha amabhizimusi lokunye, kodwa umumo wakhona ungani awukacaci kahle ukuthi uhamba kanjani. Kodwa ke sifuna ukuzwa kini zizalwane zeZimbabwe lingalisekhaya kumbe emazweni angaphandle kwelizwe lapho lingalihlala khona, lisitshela ke ukuthi libona njani imbiko lo okamongameli Emmerson Mnangagwa ukuthi phendukane ekhaya. Mr. Wanda.
Nasi tinenyaya yezvizvarwa zveZimbabwe zviri kunze kwenyika. Ngoma yoriria kuZimbabwe uko vaMnangagwa vari kushedza zvizvarwa zveZimbabwe zviri kunze kwenyika kuti zvidzoke kumusha kuzobatsira kuvaka nyika patsva. Zvino vanhu havasi kuita sokuti vari kumhanya vachienda ikokoko, nokuti vane zvimwe zvavanenge vachitya zvavari kutaura kuti vanoda kutanga vaona kuti zvinofamba sei vasati vaenda. Nokutizve nyaya dzinonetsa kumusha dzichakangodaro zvatakanga dzakaita mazuva ava Robert Mugabe, vanhu vari kuti zvinhu zvizhinji hazvati zvachinja, saka vanoda kumbomira kuti vaone kuti zvinofamba sei. Ndozvatoda kutarisa muchirongwa chino ichi kuti vanhu voenda here kunobatsira kugadzirisa zvinhu zvavari kukomprenda kuti hazvina kumira zvakanaka, kana kuti vombomira vakatarisa vamwe vachigadzira zvinhu zvavanoda kuti vawane zvarongeka zvakanaka. Ndo nyaya tinoda kutarisa nhasi pachirongwa chedu.
Yes, Mr. Wande, before we go to our guests and callers, we have our in-studio guest, Michael Kaluba from Zambia. A very good evening, Michael. Thanks for joining us and welcome to Studio 7 Live Talk.
Thank you so much for having me on this one, and good evening, Zimbabwe.
Yes, thanks, Michael. Can you just give us a brief background of why you are here in the United States?
Okay, so I came to the United States, you know, as a journalist. I'm a journalist in Zambia, and I'm part of a program dubbed On Demand, program for African journalists. We have about the 13 of us from seven Southern African countries, and we're here in the United States, you know, to learn and, you know, exchange, you know, ideas on how the media is operating back in Africa as well as, you know, here in the United States.
Yes, Michael, tell us, when you are back home as a journalist and when you hear Zimbabwe, what comes to your mind?
Well, I'm the long-standing notion about Zimbabwe, the name Zimbabwe, the country Zimbabwe, is synonymous to Robert Mugabe, as you know, he made his legendary name associated with Zimbabwe. It is an African country that, you know, back in the day was a very, very, you know, a stronghold in terms of, you know, its economic performance. And, you know, over the years, obviously, the story is something that a lot of us, you know about. And, you know, things have gotten to a point, very important to note that, you know, when you hear Zimbabwe, for me as a Zambian in particular, it enlists a rich, you know, heritage that we did share back in the day. Obviously, you know, Zimbabwe was, you know, part of the Rhodesian Federation, you know, with Zambia. And, you know, it signifies such heritage for me.
Mm-hmm. And how do you compare the situation professionally here and what it is in Zambia? What differences have you noted?
Well, I think the biggest one will be, you know, journalists operating in a free environment where they're able to execute their tasks, you know, as easily and, you know, as objectively as they want.
Right.
I think back home, it's something that a lot of journalists will agree with me about. It's a very difficult terrain for a journalist to be very objective, especially if whatever it is that this particular journalist is, you know, looking into is something that the government might not agree with. Mm. It's quite difficult. Obviously, you might have come across the information about the closure of the Post newspaper, which was very critical of government. And, you know, it left a lot of questions about, you know, how it was done, the timing of, you know, the closure of that particular newspaper. We have had a lot of incidences of, you know, harassment of journalists, you know, at state functions and whatnot. And, well, the difference is really, you could see that journalists here in the United States are able to, you know, express their stories from different points of views and also reflecting the general view of the people that are involved in their stories. Mm. While it's back home, or you need to be very careful with what you say.
Yeah, it sounds very familiar, what you said earlier on about the lack of, you know, security in terms of one performing their responsibilities in an African context. It sounds very, very familiar, and I believe that there are quite a few countries that are in such a situation. But what I like about it is that the journalists in Africa keep on working hard and doing the best that they can under the circumstances. So for that, I'm very grateful for that.
Well, really, we have no choice but, you know, to keep soldiering on and make sure that we do provide the checks and balances that, you know, government needs to have. Yeah. And also the opposition. At times, people might feel like, you know, you're doing stories that are supporting the opposition, so to say. But in actual sense, as a journalist, my responsibility really is to make sure that, I mean, if there are things that government is doing that they shouldn't, or if there are things that government promised to do for the people of, you know, the country and they're not doing, I should be able to bring these stories to light. Mm-hmm. If at all the opposition is just, you know, making noise and not really being relevant to the political system. It shouldn't compel me just to side with them for the, you know, sake of being critical of government. Mm-hmm. So really, when you make a story, the real reason behind it is, you know, the impact that it will have on the people, and also how it's going to affect, you know, certain decisions that are made for the betterment of the general populace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they say there is freedom of speech, but after the speech,
well,
that freedom is not guaranteed.
You are given freedom of speech, mm-hmm. but freedom after your speech mm-hmm. is not guaranteed.
Yes, now, Michael, looking at the economy of Zambia compared to Zimbabwe, I remember way back, you know, we used to make fun of the kwacha, you know, when you don't have money, you say, just have a few kwacha, you know.
Uh-huh.
But now, how is that compared, comparable, these two economies of those two countries?
I think Zambia is really economically on the right track. The economic indicators are all showing positive, indications. And if you look at the kwacha against the US dollar and major convertible currencies, it's performing generally well. And also, the past few years we did have, copper prices slumping down, which is basically the biggest commodity that Zambia, you know, exports, the biggest economic, export. But if you look at how it has performed in the last 2 years, it's generally, okay. But if we were to compare it, with Zimbabwe, I think it would look like it's doing remarkably well, because Zambia has been stable, really, politically, and there hasn't been any sort of issue to hamper Zambia's development economically. But it's very important also to note that, as we talk about, Zambia's economy being stable and also in the heading into the right direction, it's only as important as it helps the people of Zambia. So if the majority of, the people of Zambia are not benefiting from these economic indicators that are on paper, then obviously it poses a question: how is it even happening? And that's exactly what is going on in Zambia. We have a larger majority of, our countrymen that are not able to even manage 3 meals in a day. We have a larger of the population that, are really struggling to make ends meet. Education, basic necessities are something that, are sort of a privilege as opposed to a basic need.
Mm-hmm. And remember when, in November last year, when the coup, not coup, happened, there were reports that Zambia wanted to help the former president, Robert Mugabe. As a journalist, how were you treating those stories?
Well, the presidential aide at that point was the person of reference, and the former foreign affairs minister, Mr. Harry Kalaba, unfortunately he resigned, a few weeks ago. They could, update us about how Zambia was looking at helping Zimbabwe, because obviously Zambia is a country of interest when it comes to all its neighbors, when there are all these political issues, happening. And now our president, Edgar Chagwa Lungu, was looking at what was going on in Zimbabwe. He was particularly worried because, he did notice it was a sort of a coup, but then official statements out of Zimbabwe were indicating that it's not a coup. Mm-hmm. So, the time that the former president of Zimbabwe, Robert Mugabe, was on TV to try and give, a statement, the Zambian president and a couple of other Southern African leaders were actually, in Botswana, and the others were still heading to Botswana to have an emergency meeting at SADC to come up with intervention programs to see what they can do for Zimbabwe. A report that we did carry on the station that I work for, and many media outlets did, manage to have this one, was, a situation where the president called, President Robert Mugabe to offer his, support, and also just to check on what was happening. And, well, the response was, whatever was happening was an internal issue for Zimbabwe, and no external forces would be allowed to come through. So really, that it gave us a certain perspective, you know. You want to cover and say coup, but the official statement doesn't say coup, so really you can't go out of what you've been given and say there's a coup going on in Zimbabwe.
Mm-hmm. So now what is the latest when they're hearing the same person who was saying it's not a coup, but now he's saying it's a coup? What is the reaction now?
It has become more of a rhetoric. I'll give an example of what's happening at the moment. In Zambia, we have a former cabinet minister that got fired by the president and has been sort of, I'll call it spilling beans, because he says, you know, officials in government are corrupt and, you know, he has evidence and whatnot. And at the moment, he has a case against him by the Anti-Corruption Commission. Now, I bring this up, you know, just to bring into perspective what could be happening. This particular official was in government, and never for one particular time did he, you know, say government was corrupt. For what most Zambians care about, he didn't even resign. He waited until he got fired to start, you know, mentioning all these things about what could be going on in government. Could be the same thing. I think Robert Mugabe believed, or rather even Stu believes, you know, there are a lot of people that, you know, still want him to be president. He believes he should still be president because he was the elected leader of the country. And unfortunately, according to the assessment that you could see, the biggest strength that he had was the army. So the moment the army tilted its support away from him, that's when he lost all the power that, and grip that he had on the country. If you notice, you know, after the army negotiated and went on to announce what was going on, there was jubilation on the streets. That should tell a story in itself. Before, you know, we get to talk to newsmakers and people that will officially give us an angle and say this is exactly where we stand. The fact that people went to the streets to celebrate and, you know, all these reports on different media institutions, you know, both online as well as those that are TV and radio. The story that was carried was one story, and it was the fact that, you know, finally, Robert Mugabe's, you know, power in Zimbabwe has come to an end, and there's a new dawn that is coming to Zimbabwe.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you so much for joining us, Michael.
Thank you for having me. Mm-hmm. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much.
Okay, Zimbabwe, we are back to our topic of the day, and tonight we are talking about the new so-called new dispensation and how people have been told and urged by the new government, especially the president, Emmerson Mnangagwa, who says, people, please come back, let's rally together and rebuild the nation. Of course, some people have heeded the call. And so later on, we are going to have our guests and callers welcome to join us in this discussion, Mr. Wande.
Yes. The issue still remains that people are still reluctant. Vanhu vari kutya kana kuti vari kuzeza kudzokera kumba nekuti vane zvizhinji zvavanoda kutanga vamboona. Nyaya inonetsa apa ndiyo kuti kana vanhu vasina kudzokera, anogadzirisa zvinhu izvi ndiani? So inyaya yatofanira kuti titaurirane pachedu, nokuti vamwe vanoti vanzi vanhu vakabuda muZimbabwe havasi vese vakatiza kuurawa. Vamwe vakaenda vachinotsvaka zvakanga vachingotsvakavo asi vanokwanisa kudzoka kumba. Saka nyaya iyi hamene kuti vatereri vedu vanofungei nayo, ndiyo yatoda kuti tinzwewo pane pfungwa dzavo maererano nokushedzwa kuti kwaidzokai kumba muzobatsira kugadzirisa nyika.
Yes, Mr. Wande, we have our first guest, Silo Mnumzana Ngabuto Nicholas Mabena. Siyakwamukela kuhle.
Ngiyabonga kakhulu, ngiyabingelela lina khona ngase studio, ngibingelele labalaleli be studio 7.
Hayi, sibongile kakhulu. Mnumzana Mabena, sixoxa lapha ngodaba olubana olokubana abantu bakhona yini abalalele okwakhulunywa ngumongameli Emmerson Mnangagwa ukuthi buyelane ekhaya size bambana siyakhe isizwe bakhona inosubazweni.
Siyakhumbula ukuthi ngomnyaka ophelileyo ngoDisemba lapha ePretoria uPresident Emmerson Mnangagwa wabiza umhlangano weZimbabwean Embassy, abantu bagcwala kakhulu, lokho kutshengisela ukuthi abantu balesifiso esokuthi babuyele ekhaya bayethuthukisa ilizwe lethu. Uhlupho solukhona ukhathesi mbe into ekhona ukuthi ibhora isikuye ku-Emmerson Mnangagwa ukuthi akwenze kube lula ukuthi abantu babuyele. Ukwenza kube lula yikuthi imithetho ekhona eyokuthi kuthuthukiswe umnotho welizwe lakithi iminjani. Okwesibili, indaba yemali elokhu engatholakala emabhanga, akekho umuntu ongafuna ukuyahlanyela imali yakhe endaweni lapho engeke athole khona kumbe anelise ukuthi imali yakhe ayifake ebhanga, ngoba imali yebhizinisi angeke ihlale ngaphansi komqamelo. Okwesithathu, usenze izithembiso eziningi kakhulu, ukuze ufike namhlanje kasikho isithembiso esisodwa esesigcwalisekile. Njalo futhi okokugcina, okwesine, lokhu kukhanya kusebenza khona ukhanya kwakuqala ukuthi amathenda kumbe amathuba angaba khona kwezamabhizinisi aphiwa labo abangamalunga awezanu-PF, abantu abangasomalunga awezanu-PF kabawatholi. Kanti-ke vele okwenzakalayo khathesi ukuthi ilizwe lethu lingaphansi kombuso wamabutho, ibutho leZimbabwe. Kanti-ke njalo yibo futhi ibutho yilo futhi elibambe umnotho weZimbabwe okhona, okwenza ukuthi kube nzima labo abangasibo bombutho ukuthi bangene labo kwezamabhizinisi.
Hayi, bezwakala. Mr. Wande, our guest there, Mr. Mabena, I'll have him talk in English so that, you know, he's bilingual. So, Mr. Okay. Mabena, can you translate what you said for the benefit of our listeners?
What I'm saying is that we'll recall that in December last year, when President Emmerson Mnangagwa visited Pretoria and hosted a business meeting, thousands of Zimbabweans flocked to the Zimbabwean embassy with a view of trying to go and invest back in Zimbabwe. So people are excited. People want to invest in Zimbabwe. But now the ball is in Emmerson Mnangagwa's court and his government for them to provide a conducive environment for business people to invest in Zimbabwe, to address the critical financial shortages in the banks. No one wants to invest in a country where they cannot bank their money, or if they bank their money, they will not have access to. There are also laws that are not business friendly that will attract Zimbabweans in the diaspora to invest. We are in a deep state in Zimbabwe. We are under a military junta. So it is difficult for those that are not in the military to invest because the junta is still following the old ZANU-PF way of doing things, to say business is only open or business opportunities are only open to those that are members of the ruling party and those that are closer to the military. Then it excludes other Zimbabweans, particularly in the diaspora, that might want to go invest in Zimbabwe. So they have not yet opened up business for the diasporans to invest.
There you go, Mr. Wande.
Are we only looking at those who are in a position to set up businesses, or, excuse me, we are also talking about those people who were just displaced during those violent times? What do you think?
No, we are looking at here in South Africa in particular, you have your skilled Zimbabweans that are no longer doing their work that they were trained to qualify to do, like your teachers or nurses and so forth, who are now working as domestic workers, would want to return home and practice their profession once the situation normalizes or it improves. We are also looking at Zimbabweans that are in South Africa and elsewhere who are now running big companies in foreign lands, who have invested in foreign lands, who have acquired business skills over the years, who would want to go and invest in Zimbabwe. And we are also looking to those that will form partnership with the other nationalities, those that they are working with in foreign lands. In running businesses, they want to transfer those skills back to Zimbabwe. But as I said, the President Mnangagwa says Zimbabwe is open for business, but we are yet to see any meaningful business taking place. Because, like I'm saying, if we are in a financial crisis like we are in Zimbabwe, we don't think that is good enough for anyone to invest.
So, do you know of anyone who has gone back home after the fall of former President Robert Mugabe?
The people have gone, like I referred to the meeting of December in South Africa that happened in Pretoria. People have gone to explore, to say what are the opportunities, in which sectors can they invest. And for now, there is no clear information flowing to the diaspora to say you can invest in the construction industry, you can invest in this sector and so forth. So that information is not readily available. And as I said, there is also a cash crisis for those that want to invest in Zimbabwe.
Okay, Mr. Wande.
Yes. I was intrigued by the point that you made about the professionals who want to go back home because they are no longer able to practice their professions in South Africa, for example, like you say. You have teachers doing some other kind of work, nurses doing some other kind of work. What do you think they want to see before they can commit to going back home? What is it that the professionals from Zimbabwe in South Africa are looking for before they can pack their bags and go back home?
A worker wants to be paid once they sell their labor, whether they are paid weekly or monthly. They want to be paid as per agreement in their contract. You will know that today in Zimbabwe, workers don't go on strike for more wages. They go on strike for them to be paid. We know the conditions of the workers at the National Railways of Zimbabwe and in other sectors where workers go for months without being paid. I was talking to some people that work even in private security industries in Zimbabwe who have gone for more than 2 months without being paid. So if people are not being paid on time, it does not attract those that work as domestic workers or doing other odd jobs in South Africa and elsewhere. But if there's a guarantee that firstly, that those that are working inside Zimbabwe are paid in time, it then attracts those that are no longer practicing their profession in South Africa and elsewhere to go back to Zimbabwe. Well, wages might be different in terms of what they receive in Zimbabwe and what they receive, say, in South Africa, Namibia, Botswana, or the UK. But the people will then calculate to say, I would rather have one home instead of me having three homes, one home in Johannesburg, the other one in Bulawayo, and the other one in the village, say, in Umzingwano or in Cholojo. So people consider all those things, and also the fact that they are no longer practicing their profession, and also the challenge with the documentation. But if there are no guarantees that they will be receiving their salaries on time, they will not be attracted to go back to Zimbabwe.
Thank you so much, Mr. Mabena. We'll be coming back to you in a little while. Mr. Gande, Tina Amai Diana Zimbudzana, who is the programs manager for Zimbabwe Exiles Forum. Muripo here, Amai Zimbudzana?
Wangu niripo.
Makadini zvenyu.
Ndirikuwa zvangu makadiwa.
Tiri nani isu. Tiri kutaura nyaya yebasa ramuri kuita iri. Rezvizvarwa zveZimbabwe zviri kunze kwenyika. Zvinoda kudzokera nevasingafungi kuti vangada kudzokera pari zvino. Chimbotiudzaiwo imi zvamuri kuona sezvo muchishanda navamwe vanhu vazhinji vokumusha vanova ndivo vari kushedzwa navamunangagwa kuti dine vadzoka kumba.
Maitenyu vanhu vazhinji vane chido chaicho chokuda kudzokera. Zvarwa zveZimbabwe zviri tichitarisa somuno muSouth Africa. Havana kunyatsogara zvakanaka vazhinji vacho, saka vanenge vachiona zvinenge zvakatinakei kuti dai vanga vadzokera kumusha. Saka kudanwa kwakaitwa ikoko kwokunzi vanhu ngavadzokere kumusha ishoko rakanaka, asi vanhu vanozotanga kuzvibvunza mubvunzo kuti ko zvino kana tichinge todzokera kumusha ndonotangira papi, nekuti chakachinja hurumende. Asi zvinhu zvakanga zviripo hurumende isati yachinja, kana tongoti chakachinja mutungamiriri wehurumende. Asati zvachinja, mitsara ichiripo kumabhanga, vanhu vari kushayiwa mari, mabasa asati avako, maindastri asati avhurwa. Saka zvose izvozvo vanhu vanozozvitarisa kuti zviri nani ndigari zvangu kuno kwandee ndichiita zvimapisijob zvangu ndichiwana cheuviri ndichitumirawo ka20 rand kumusha, pane kuti ndiinde kunogara kumusha nditarisana nevamwe nezhara iyoyo ndozodii. Saka vanhu vari kutarisa kuti hongu vangada kudzokera kumusha, asi vanotarisa kuti kumusha kwacho kuchikwati kwaakudzokereka here.
Okay. Murambe muri papo henyu tinodzoka kwamuri. Bye. Mr. Gande, Mrs. Mbudzana here is saying that the people have a very a big desire to return home, but they are afraid of the situation because they don't know where to start once they get back there. She says that people mostly complain about the lack of jobs and that the industry doesn't show any signs of revival at the moment, so they are reluctant to go back home.
Let me throw a quick question to Ms. Zimbudzana. Ms. Zimbudzana, do you know of any person, individual or groups who have gone back to Zimbabwe after former President Mugabe stepped from power?
Yes. But I think your question, if I get it correctly, you are implying that we have gone for good, who have not come back.
Yes.
Because we actually have a lot of people who went to Zimbabwe to assess the situation as soon as the events of November happened. And then those people are back in South Africa. So they went, some of them went for 2 weeks, some of them went throughout the December period just to assess the situation. And when they left South Africa, their word to us was, no, we are just going to see how the situation is like. Are there signs that it's going to change anytime soon? And if there are, what can I go in where can I go in and position myself? So yes, that is those people are there. But to tell you the truth, all of them are back. Okay, the ones who came to our organization, all of them are back in South Africa now. They have adopted a wait and see attitude.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much, Ms. Mbutsana. Stay on the line. Mr. Wande, we have our first caller, Golide. Siyakwamukela uhlelo, Golide.
Ngiyabingelela linjani, Studio 7, Live Talk.
Siyaphila. Linjani lina ngapho?
Hayi, siyanqenga nje. Noma nje kunzima bakithi. Hayi, sesiphongo yenza nje.
Hey, bantu. Hayi, kuzalunga.
Yeah,
ungasiphathisa ngolakho lamhlanje.
Engilakho mina bakithi, bengicela ukuthi sicela lisenzele nje amafavor ukuthi mangabe sifuna ukubuya sizoyenza wona lawo ma-business inyana, i-government bakithi izame ukuthi isenzele kube lula, ngoba njengamanje ngikhuluma nje mina ngibe plani nje ukuthi ngize ekhaya lami ngizozama, njengomuntu ize lami ngidingele nje okuyikhumbinyana kwami. So ngumuntu obuyayo nje njengoba kuphela le nyanga, ngizozama ukuthi ngifind out ngeduty leyo, ngoba ngizwa kuthiwa kufunakala iduty ukuthi ngiyibhadalele. So bengifisa ukuthi uma ngathi ngifika mpela ngize iduty yangikhona kuyukuthi mhlawumbe kuyancebeka bakithi, lami ke ngibuye nje ngizama ukuthi lami ngijoyine abanye nje ngisebenze khava kithi kunini ngibuye lapha mina ngo-91 isikhathi sesiside vakithi angila muzi ngifisa ukuthi ngibuye ekhaya ngizosebenzela ekhaya ngakhe vakithi ngisicela vakithi lisize bo.
Hayi, siyakuzwa, sibongile kakhulu Mnumzana Gwelidwe.
Ngiyabonga nami.
Yebo, Mr. Wande, the caller there, Gwelidwe, is talking about the difficulties that he might face if he tries to go and start a business back home in Zimbabwe. He's talking about, you know, he's trying to run a combi business. Mm. So he says the first thing that discourages him is the duty that he has to pay at the border. Because the last time I checked, I think it was 120%.
That's of, a big step.
Yeah, imagine if you are buying a car for $5,000, you end up paying 15,000. So that's one of the things he's talking about. Anyway, let's go back to Mr. Mabena. Mr. Mabena, you have heard some of our callers, and we've also heard the contributions there from Ms. Zimbudzana. She's talking about people having gone home, and then they came back after they were not satisfied with what is happening and what they saw. Now, can you tell us, Mr. Mabena, what do you see after the elections, after, you know, whoever has won, either it's Mnangagwa, Chamisa, Joyce Mujuru, or whoever wins, do you see the diaspora shrinking, or you see it even growing bigger as Zimbabweans continue going out of the country?
Well, it is going to depend on the credibility of the elections, credibility and the legitimacy of the elections. A number of political and economic commentators are predicting that we might go back to an inclusive government. They don't believe or think that there was an outright win by one political formation or political party. So an inclusive government or a unity government might be ideal beyond the elections for the next 5 years or so. If we check what happened between 2009 to 2013, there was stability on the political front and also on the economy, though the stability on the economy was based on the export that were importing goods from outside, were not manufacturing anything. This time around, I think if we are to go for an inclusive government, it should pay more attention to the manufacturing sector so that we begin to manufacture our own products as opposed to importing products from South Africa, Botswana, and elsewhere. This will bring stability in the economy, and we know that there are people that will be ready from the diaspora, would want to go and invest, be it in the mining sector, in the tourism sector, or even in agriculture. People are prepared to do so. So it is basically based on the legitimacy and of the election, and hoping that in post-elections we are not going to go back to 2008, where we are going to have political violence. So political stability is paramount beyond the elections for an economic recovery.
Oh, okay. Thank you so much. Please stay on the line. We have another guest, Mr. Mark Bafour of the Africa Diaspora Forum, which, of course, Mr. Mabena belongs to. Welcome to the show, Mr. Bafour.
Good evening, and thank you very much for giving us the platform to talk about our issues here.
Yes. Now, Mr. Bafour, just give us a brief background of what Africa Diaspora Forum is all about.
The African Diaspora Forum is a platform created in 2008 after the first xenophobic attack in South Africa, to liaise and discuss about the issues of migrant and migration policy formulations and how the broader migrant community integrates in the South African society. We've been working with government departments we've been working with the migrant community for us to be able to alleviate the suffering of migrants in South Africa. Remember, after 94, it was a challenge for migrants who now see South Africa as a haven in our continent, in the African continent, to protect them for those who are facing human rights abuses by their own government. So you're having both refugees and asylum seekers and also economic migrants coming to South Africa. So South Africa is currently hosting all those categories of migrants in the continent. The African Diaspora Forum is therefore the platform for those migrants who are coming here out to work to protect them and to make sure that the migrants enjoy their rights where in their host country, which is South Africa. Mm-hmm. That's basically what we're doing. Yeah.
So as an organization, how do you assist your members to, you know, look forward at going back to their home countries? Is there a way or mechanism that you have in place to help those people who are saying, okay, I've lived in South Africa for 20 years or 30 years, but now I want to go back home? You have such a mechanism?
We are encouraging migrants, the different communities. In fact, the African Diaspora Forum has a membership today of about 35 different African communities, which is something like 8,000 members, individual members, and those organizations. What we are doing is that we want migrants who are living here in South Africa to be involved in the politics back home, because they were chased away by that same politics. So we are encouraging them. If you're talking about, I'm not sure if you are aware of the challenges that we're facing in our continent. If you're talking about your issues in Nigeria, the issues in southern Cameroon, issues in Somalia, in your Rwanda, and so on and so forth. You want migrants to be involved in the politics of the domestic politics of the different countries. So if there are some elections, the debates, how do you participate in the debate? How you encourage your own people in your specific community to be involved? Because most of the time people say that they have nothing to do with their politics, but they are victims of the same politics. So we are actually training them to enlighten them, for them to be counted or be part and parcel of the politics, the domestic politics. That's one thing that the African Diaspora Forum is doing, is to train the migrants to be prepared for them to be part and parcel of their own and domestic politics. So yes, we're definitely encouraging migrants to make their home countries a safer country. And how then, when you make your country a safer country, how do you encourage people to embrace democracy? Out of your country, you encourage others to be involved in a democratic process for you tomorrow to have a safer country and a safer country for your families and your family members and the relatives. That's something that we are encouraging members to do and make sure that people who are maybe who are trained in currently in South Africa, working, maybe they finished their studies, they are trained, or maybe they're from a political party and they were chased away by the different political, I mean, the ruling parties of the countries. Now here, they should be able to organize themselves to make sure that tomorrow is a brighter future. And that's exactly what the African Diaspora Forum is trying to do, because otherwise, we're just mourning, complaining about our government, but we're not participating. And the government, if you watch very closely the African politics, government are there to stay for decades in into power. So we want to make sure that we encouraging people, we enlightening them with their own constitution for people not to come and make not government to come and to come to power and make the country their own farm, but they count for a good participation and the participation of all individuals of all citizens of that country.
Okay.
Yeah, that's one thing that we're doing.
Okay. Thank you so much, Mr. Bafon. We wanted that background. So we will talk to you next time. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much for giving us the opportunity to talk about this.
Okay. Good night, sir.
Thanks. Goodbye.
Okay.
Yeah, Mr. Gandhi, tine munhu pafoni. Mr. Donald Mambo, mamuripo here? Mr. Mambo, mamuripo here? Africa Diaspora Forum.
Wangu tunoshanda na wacha hizo zvakanaka remark anotondizira makafama mstara na yo. Tunoshanda navo tunoshandidzana chikonzero chikuru chakaita kuti tishandidzane sekureva kwaita ndechekuti pakaitika xenophobic attacks at 2008 haana kubata maZimbabweans kana maCongolese kana maSomalians ega akabata zvizvarwa zvese zvekerere Africa saka izvozvo zvakaita kuti tibatane tione kuti nai vedwe komusha misha yetu yedu yese zvayatsva todi iko nevari kutipisira misha saka tinoshanda tose zvakanaka chaizvo.
No, father. It's very, very, very good. They work together. They collaborate whenever they can, but they work together since those xenophobic attacks in South Africa, which is quite comforting to know.
At least. So, Mr. Mabena, uzwile lapha si besicela nje Mr. Bafo ukuthi asiphe nje eliyali kwenzi. Ungasitshela nje ukuthi lina njenge African Diaspora Forum kahle kahle abantwana beZimbabwe kuyini abangakuthola kunhlanganiso le?
Siyabonga iAfrican Diaspora Forum ihlanganisa izizalwane zakwamanya amazwe angasowesa eSouth Africa. Ikakhulu iZimbabwe lamanye amazwe aseAfrika alapha. Thina ke njengeZimbabwe community in South Africa lathi si-affiliate ku-African Diaspora Forum lapho esincedisana khona nabanye ababuya kwamanye amazwe endabeni zokuthi silwisane lalokho okuthiwa ngolwasemzini izenophobia, silwisane lohlupho abantu ababalabo nalo kakhulu eMarabastad kumbe eDesmond Tutu Refugee Center lapha behleka khona ukuthi bathole ama-slam document babathola khona kanzima ukuthi abantu silwisane le ndaba ukuthi abantu ababuya ngaphandle kwamazwe bayavinjelwa kwesinye isikhathi ukuthi bangene ezibhedlela bayelatshwe ngendaba zokuthi kabalancwadi abantwana abangelancwadi babazali abangelazincwadi kuvinjelwa ukuthi abantu ababo bengahambi ezikolo bayefunda. So yikho okuhlanganisayo ukuthi siyabe siya ama-experiences ukuthi abeCongo bona ama-challenges abanawo iwapha abe-Ivory Coast abe-Nigeria lathi abeZimbabwe sibese sikhuluma njengazwi linye njengama-Africans ikhonapha. Sesanelisileke ukuthi sisebenzisane lezinye ingatsha inhlanganiso ze-South Africa ezingaphansi kwe-African Diaspora Forum. Kanti-ke futhi okwenzakalayo iminyaka yonke kusukela mhla ka 16 May kusiya ku 28 May sibala lokho kuthiwa i-Africa Week lapho siyabe sigqugquzela kumbe sijabulela i-Africa Week njengomhla ka 25 May kusiba i-Africa Day sikhulumisana ukuthi kutshoni ukuba yi-African kambe ukuthi njengoba sonke singama-Africa kungani thina abantu abamnyama sichayana kumbe sizondana ukuthi mina mbuya eZimbabwe umfowethu ubuya KwaZulu-Natal kumbe ubani ubuya eZambia kodwa sihlangane sonke silapha e-South Africa. So yikho nje esikwenzayo lokuthi-ke sibe sesenza le program othiwa i-social cohesion ukuthi sihambe kuma communities ofana nabo Orange Farm kubo Soweto ukuthi izakhamuzi ze-South Africa zingethuki nxa zibona thina obokuza sihlala phakathi kwabo sibafundise ukuthi okwenza ukuthi sisuke emazweni ethu siza lapha kuyini njalo kungani kumele basivumele sihlalisane kuhle ngokuthula.
There you go, Mr. Wande.
Tinamwe pafoni Mkoma George Matanga muripo?
Ya ndiripo.
Tibatsirewo nenyaya iyi yedwe.
Yes, ya nyaya iyi yekudzokera kumba yakanaka chose. Even inini ndinoida but ndinofunga kuti ndichikudzokera kumba ndinonotangira papi because kumusha ndanga ndiri kuita zvekurima uye ndiri kuita zvekuvaka saka pane zvekurima nyangwe ndikati ndakudzokera kunovaka kunorima ndinozvitengesera kupi ndikati ndakudzokera kunoda kunovaka enezvi muno ndiri kuita zvekuti zvendirofanange ndichiita chaizvo handizvo zvandiri kufanawa zvandiri kuita iye zvino ndiri kuita zvekudhraivha matraki ndiri kuita zvemagetsi kuti changu chai chaizvo ndichikuvaka nekurima saka dai kurinzi vaigona kutibatsira kuti tigone kudzokerawo kumusha ya pane maproma vanhu vanogona kutibatsira kuti tinoti kana tadzokera kumusha tinosvika patinenge tiri kuti totanga apa tichienda apa saka ishi kudzokera kumusha tichiri kutya kuti zvinhu hasazvaastable but kudzokera tinoda
saka kuti mukwanise kudzokera imi mibatsiro yamunoda ingava yakaita sei nokuti hurumende kaingangoti chero munhu wabuda oda kudzoka woti kwanzi yati kubatsirei hapana imwe nzira here yamukakwanisa kuita nayo kuti mudzokere musvike pamamuri paya pamotanga panyowani pasina batsiro inobva kuna vamwe vanhu vakaita sehurumende hazvigone nokuti vanogona kuti imi makabva muno mukaenda kwamakaenda makanosvikira panani handiti makanosvika muchingotanga panyowani muri mega vanogona kudaro futi saizvozvo kana vakasadaro zvinoreva kuti mogara ikoko kusvika rini
hatigare kusvika rini but tiri kutarisawo kuti kana taonawo variko kumusha zvinhu zvaakunzi zvaakufamba zvakanaka because iye zvino mudzimai wangu ariko kumusha anoita izvo zvokurima but haacharime the standard yatanga tiri kurima kusvika pairi tairima hoha tairima zvino nezvino hoha takatomisa because unorima hoha woutengesa kupi hakuna kwokuchautengesa unorima chino hakuna kwokuchachitengesa ini pache zvangu andanga asingade rubatsiro but ndiroda kuti maybe titarise kuti maindustries africa here kwokutengesera kwako here then maybe tinogona kudzokera.
Aiwa tazvinzwa chaizvo tinotenda mashoko enyu Mr. Gandhi, just like the other callers, they just want to see that there is some life that has come back into the industry, so that if they produce some things, they at least have some place where to sell to those sell. Products. Mm-hmm. And also, they I would appreciate some little help to get them back home. Mm-hmm. And we have another caller before you take the next one.
Yes.
Mkoma Donald Mambo Mamuripo. Aye, watiripo, tinotenda chose kuti maita mwe murefu. Taure atinzwe.
Ya, yebo kata ne network, right?
Okay. Tiudzewo mazwa.
Ndakanga namhorosa hangu tete nchitetere dzana zvimbudza nawo. Vanobatsira kaizvo tete wa. Pane pakatombo kidnap wamfana wangu murombo. Vanobatsira kaizvo. I don't know what to do. I'm going to go to the Zimbabwe. I do Garam Zango, Munosa, I do Garam Zango, Scutaman is a contributor, but I could not show what I do to Lania without Paria Garam Zango. I should sit in Japan. I could not see Kumuma. I'm not going to marry Josh. I'm going
to
go to Macamban, now Macamban, but I don't got units. Barbara Zingawa Shandi of the Women, the Yuka, Pina, Haipa, which I want to play. I'm a pleasant character, but I mean, Zimbabwe. We can't be saying, apana kana kambani wana tati yaona ya iko zinu kubata wezi jaye masingo njiri masingo bedi bridge chirundu yaka nguwa ya nye piwa wanzitia gazigwa ikaitwa ground breaking ceremony waka ungana pa chaka paya kubawari wa mgabi hatina chataka wona saka chii jiri kisi ya tunga na kukua tuwa kumeza ude apana jiri apana jiri po mgoma
aye watu
tuta hao tuti tika papuma elections uta sada wa zingata ume urumende ime kwa zaka check off hal njiri anawe zimbabu hinda mbeli
aye watu
apana chatinga unye tekwa mgoma apana jiri po.
Yeah. I want to know since what I was Mr. Gandhi. The gentleman is not very amused about the situation. They said things have not changed. They haven't seen any factory reopening in spite of what President Mnangagwa said. And they want to see something happening before they can pick up their things to go. But he, you know, the other part that I liked was that he was passing his thanks to Mrs. Mbudzana and her colleagues for the assistance that they gave him, his family. So that is a very positive thing indeed. Yes,
yeah,
yes.
We're talking about Zimbuzana. Let's go to her. Ms. Zimbuzana, what do you think will be the situation if the elections are, I mean, after the elections, do you see people going back home no matter who has won?
Firstly, I'd like to thank the gentleman who just called me. It's good to be appreciated. Mm-hmm. We are a very small organization, but we try to have tentacles all over, and that is good to be appreciated.
Very good.
On the issue of what's going to happen after the elections, it is only subjective to the results of those elections. If the results maintain the same status quo as it is now, I think then things will not, people would still remain where they are, the standoff will continue. Because I think the main issue is that people lack confidence in the present government, as it were. And because of that lack of confidence, it will take a huge amount of persuasion on the part of the government if the government is sincere in asking people to come back home. Mm-hmm. It will take a huge amount of effort on their part to lure those people back to Zimbabwe to invest. But I think the main impediment really as of now is that of policy. The government has said Zimbabwe is open for business. But what is the policy? What is the policy of that being open for business? What is the tax policy? What is the ownership policy? Do people still retain property rights? If people go in and invest, do they retain their profit? How do they repatriate? All those things need to be taken into account. And the government has not addressed all those issues. So therefore, as long as those issues are not really addressed, people will still maintain the same wait-and-see attitude. But as for us, as of now, we need to see the government giving us the diaspora vote. If they give us the diaspora vote, then we can then see that the government is serious about issues of the diaspora.
Mr. Mbutsana, unfortunately, time has run out. We are out of time. Thanks for joining us.
You're welcome. Thank you so much.
Yes, that was Diana Zimbutsana of the Zimbabwe Excise Forum. You also heard from Mr. Ngabuto Nicholas Mabena from the African Diaspora Forum, as well as Mark Bafo, who is in the same organization. Thanks, Zimbabwe, for joining us. Let's meet again, same time, same station next week. My name is Chris Gande. Good night.
Good night.